Some people think that you can really divide the Bible and you have the Old Testament and the New Testament. And in that attitude and idea, they think that when you leave the Old Testament, it's all gone, and now you're in a New Testament and things are different. I don't know what Bible they have, but the Bible I have, somebody shook it up, and a lot of the Old Testament is in the New Testament. And some of the New Testament is in the Old Testament. It's all by one author, and that's by the Holy Spirit. It's God's holy divine word. And we come to Romans chapter 13 and verse 9. And once again, we're reminded of a very important issue in the Old Testament. And so in verse 9, "For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love the Lord thy neighbor as thyself." A lot of people, they want to think they're in the New Testament and get away from the law. Get away from the commandments. Jesus came to fulfill the commandments, and they're just as important now as they have ever been, and we're to obey those commandments. There's a phrase that is used here, thou shall not. This phrase that is there, notice in that beginning, that also means same-sex marriage. Same-sex marriage is adultery. That also means living together before you're married. That is adultery. I don't care how you want to paint it, how beautiful you might think it is, and how convenient it might be, and whatever not to patch it in, it is adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. And that includes abortion. Abortion is murder. It is killing. To hate a person without a cause, you're guilty of murder. And on we can go, and we need to come back to that realization, because the crowd is doing it, because the law has been passed, it makes it right. It does not make it right. God's word overrides any law, anything that thou shalt be doing, whether it's a multitude. And then it says, thou shalt not steal. Oh, my. There's a lot of things included in that. One that's mainly there that we have seemed to ignore, and we don't talk about it. We don't want to hear about it. Thou shalt not steal means you shall tithe. When you do not tithe, for whatever not tithe, you are to give it, however you might justify it. When you do not tithe, you are stealing from God. Amen or oh me. Now I'm reading from the New Testament. Don't say, well, that's the old. No, it's in the New Testament. And then bear false witness. Again, in that thou shalt not bear false witness. And what do we say to that? One word, gossip. Gossip, think about it. Well, 676 times in the Bible. Now, that's in the King James Version. It's different in other translations and less in other translations. That's why people don't want the King James, because it's got too many thou shalt, shall not. 676 times in the Bible, that phrase, shall not, is used in the Bible. I'd say that's kind of important. Jesus, to emphasize something that was really important, he would repeat it. And especially with the matter of something that he's about to say, how valuable it is, he'd say, verily, verily, truly, truly, pay attention, this is important. And when a phrase, thou, or a phrase, shall not, is used 676 times, you better perk up your ears and listen. You better get your heart right and begin to obey God's word. And as the Holy Spirit was leading me into this and to look and to begin to work with this, then the Holy Spirit brought out some things that, oh, I've seen, but hadn't really put it together. We have, you shall not, in reference to things that we should not do. But also in the Bible, there are the shall not of comfort. God uses that same phrase, shall not, to bring us comfort from God's holy word. And right now, we know, and in our society, in America, not in some other country, not in some other nation that denies God or worships some other God, but in America, there's no question in our minds and all that's involved in our society today have been taught and raised up, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, and on down the line. And we tried our best to ignore those commands, thinking that it doesn't matter. Whatever we want to do, it's okay. And we're reaping the harvest of it right now. Violence has increased. People have no respect for one another or for themselves. It's horrible. It's terrible. And it's going to get worse. We know that, but God tonight wanted me to share with you some comfort from shall not. So let's look at Luke chapter 10 and verse 41. Luke chapter 10 and verse 41. In Luke chapter 10, well, let's look at verse 38. Luke 10, verse 38. So you can get the story that's involved with this. In Luke 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Now, this was nice. And she allowed him to come in with her sister and her brother. And then she came to Jesus, and she had a sister named Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was clumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, doest thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Now here is, she's requesting some judgment upon her sister. My sister is lazy tonight. She's sitting there listening to you when I need some help. You ever been in that situation? I've been there when your daughter-in-laws came in or your children came in that's married and should pitch in and help a little bit. And here you are slaving in the kitchen and boy, they hadn't turned a hand. Kind of irritates you a little bit. You'd like to have some thou shall not. You know, thou shall not just sit there. Thou shall get up and do something. Well, this is the situation we got here. Now listen to what Jesus said, verse 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Now get the picture. Put yourself there. We are troubled right now about many things. We're troubled about our nation. We're troubled about our election. We're troubled about all kinds of things that's going on in our society. Even here in Ada, as well as Oklahoma, as well as in the nation as a whole on them. We fit Martha's position, don't we? But then notice what Jesus said in verse 42. But one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part which shall not, there's that phrase, which shall not be taken away from her. We need to take our stand, yes. We need to recognize that which is wrong, yes. But during this time, we need to stand with confidence and comfort in our Lord and know that the thing we really need is not another law, not another organization that would help this or that or try to correct this or that. We need God. We need the teaching of God's Word. And in our churches, we, as we need to reach out to the lost world, we need to proclaim God's Word that we can set at the feet of Jesus, and it shall not be taken from us. Isn't that great? And all that's going on. Some people, what are we going to do? We can't worship anymore? We're going to close the doors of our church? I got good news for you. God said it shall not be taken from us. We will have it. And praise God for them. And so the spiritual things shall not be taken away. And we have that opportunity now to gather it more than ever, just as Mary did to sit at the feet of Jesus. I could just see that scene. And she was just taking in the precious words of Jesus. And yet, we're like Martha. We're busy about everything and do not take time to let God speak to us and sit at the feet of Jesus, and it shall not be taken away from us. And then in Matthew 24 and verse 35, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35, Matthew chapter 24 deals with a lot of the problems of things that's going to come in the future. Deals with the rapture, deals with the second coming of Christ, deals with the tribulation period such as this world has never seen or will see after it. I mean, it is a terrible thing. And the things that are coming, it really paints that picture. In the midst of this chapter, in the midst of this teaching, we find a shall not. That is there. Matthew 24 and verse 35. Jesus said, in spite of all that's going on and all that will come, in verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. My words, Jesus said, shall not pass away. Now, I've had the privilege, and you have, many of you here tonight, have had that privilege of seeing things over a period of years. We've seen all kinds of changes come along our way. We've seen things that we thought would never change has changed. We've seen things we thought was absolute and solid, and they were like water, had no substance whatsoever. I saw this as I was going to the university, my major was math. That was absolute. I found out as I got into the depths of the study of math that that was an act of faith. You had to assume a certain basis to do certain type of math, whether it's base 10 or base 3 or for our computers, base 2. And what would apply to base 2 doesn't apply to base 10. And so my little area of something that was absolute began to lose its position. But regardless of what might come or go, regardless of what might change, and today, I could not tutor our children that's in math now. It's changed totally and completely from what I used to do and understanding of math. But I got news for you. God's holy divine word will not change. Now, man is trying his best to change it. The world is trying its best to change it. But I find in all the changes that are coming along, God keeps bringing us back to his word that does not change. He said, though the earth pass away and the heavens pass away, My word shall not pass away. I have an anchor that is sure. I can have the confidence and the assurance that I have something that will not change as far as it's absolute. It will apply to regardless of every generation, to every situation, regardless of what might come and go, the word of God will always apply and it will not change. It shall not change. Praise God for that. Man, that's comfort to me. That's assurance that I can have. And when you come to that place that you realize and have the right attitude about the word of God, that Paul didn't write this, Matthew didn't decide to put this down, John didn't write it, Ezekiel didn't, it's not his attitude, it's God's holy divine word, and they wrote what God wanted them to write, whether they understood it or not. Every now and then I'll hear a preacher say, well, God tried to do this. God doesn't try to do anything. He does it. You understand? It's not a matter that God might not be able to do it. He is the Almighty. It doesn't change. And so we can have that comfort and assurance regardless of what changes around me, what comes or what goes. I've got an anchor in God's holy divine word. How precious, how powerful it is. Then we go to a familiar passage in the Old Testament. Oh, I love this one. And you will too. Turn to Psalms 23. Psalms 23, the 23rd Psalms. You've quoted it many times. You've read it over and over again. You've seen different versions, a different play upon the 23rd Psalms. I saw an article once that was written based upon the 23rd Psalm, says the television is my shepherd. I shall not want for time. And it goes on down as to that relationship that is there from the 23rd Psalm. But now let's find something precious in the 23rd Psalms. In verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. Here comes that phrase, shall not want. Now, sometimes I have a little problem with the Lord phrasing it that way. If you don't understand what's there, you might not. It might seem like the Lord is my shepherd and I don't want him. No, that's not what it's saying. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That means I shall never be in need of anything. He is going to provide everything for me and take care of everything that I need in my life. He's my shepherd of all the animals. A sheep cannot defend itself. It doesn't have horns that where it can tear something apart. It doesn't have teeth that it can chew up an enemy that's coming its way. It doesn't have claws on its feet. I mean, it's defenseless. But a sheep has a shepherd that takes care of that. Now, I shall not want, in the next verse, he leadeth me, or he maketh me, pardon me, to lie down in green pastures. I shall not have need for looking for a green pasture. He provides the green pastures for me and makes sure that I am full. He leadeth me beside the still waters. No fear, no anxiety. He takes control of my life. That's my shepherd. I shall not want for comfort or for fear. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. When I become discouraged, he gives me assurance. When I wonder which way should I go, he leads me in the right paths, in the paths of righteousness, not violence, not hatred, but in that which is great and joyful. Oh my, I shall not want. What assurance we have with Jesus as our shepherd. And then in verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He doesn't go before me and remove the threats that's there. He walks with me. He's right there with me. And more so than what the emphasis and what the people in the Old Testament knew, today we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit for comfort, for power, for assurance. Oh, what a blessing it is. I don't have to be afraid of anything. For God's with me. The Holy Spirit in me. Thou shalt not want. I'm not going to, I've got a problem. I've got to go to Jerusalem so I can find some answers. No. Right now. Well, maybe I need to go down to the First Baptist Church. And there I could go before the throne of God. No, wherever you are. You can go before that throne of grace and find help in time of need. I shall not want. Now, don't misunderstand me. He wants you in the First Baptist Church. He wants you in his house. He wants you to know what's done. But that's not the only place where he is. Even in the valleys of the shadow of death, he's there with us. I shall not want. For the need of comfort, for the need of assurance, I shall not fear. Oh, what a blessing it is. And then in verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My, I've always liked that. See, I can just see it. Jesus mentioned it a little bit in the New Testament when he was here. He talked about a sheep. Now, being maybe some danger, excuse me, Mama. The danger of wolves getting a sheep within a flock. Say you got 100 sheep, and you're one of them. And the cry is out, there's a wolf out there. And you look at yourself and, well, I'm not as fat as that other one. That wolf would want a fat one. I'm not on the edge, and that wolf will get those on the edge before it gets in here. Jesus said, no, I want you to get the right picture. He said, picture a pack of wolves, hungry, wanting a lamb, desiring to have some food, all of them, and they're going to rush to be the first ones to get it before the others get anything. And you're the only lamb, the only sheep, in the midst of the wolves. What do you do? You can't say there's a bunch more and he'll get them first. Or they might like something else. No, you're it. And you're the only one. The Lord is my shepherd. In that situation, verse 5 now, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. When the wolves gather around me, when those who oppose me, when those who want to fight against me because of the stand I might take for God, those who are trying to tear my life apart, the wolves are there. You can see them all around you. God says, just relax. I'm going to put a table out here for you to feast on. He prepares a table of feast, of a blessing. A good example of this is the Apostle John. Now, you know, John, Jesus appointed 12 men, ordained them, called them his apostles. And out of that 12, Jesus every now and then would single out three of them, Peter, James, and John. He would take them in on special occasions to see a miracle that others wouldn't see. He'd take them up to the Mount of Transfiguration. He didn't take all of them. He just took Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. And they saw the power of God in Jesus. And then they saw Moses and Elijah. What a privilege. And then the testimony was that Jesus loved John and John loved Jesus. And when the others wanted to know some special information and maybe to ask Jesus about it, you know who they went to? To John. John has an inner connection maybe there. And would you ask and would you find out about this? Of all the 12, John was placed in the midst of wolves. After Jesus left, he was pastoring. He stood his ground. He preached just as he heard it and as he saw it. And he was arrested. He was put on the Isle of Patmos. If anybody could have had a pity party, that would have been John. Woe is me. Why am I out here? I was faithful to God. Out of all the 12, I'm the only one that was at the cross. Think about that. Others ran off. He stood there, and he stood with Mary. And in that situation, cast on the Isle of Patmos, God desolate, the enemies around him, God prepared a table for him in the presence of his enemies, and he saw things that none of the others could even dream about. He had a revelation of Jesus Christ like no one has ever had. He saw Jesus as the all-mighty, but his son, he saw Jesus conquering everything, not only the devil, but his son, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. He saw Jesus overcoming all that the devil might work up, and knowing he has a short time with all of his wrath, he saw the victory of Jesus over it all. You want to see the glory of God, the power of God? When the enemies come around, you shall not want. God will reveal to you and show you things that no one else will see. Isn't that great? I'm not afraid of the God will give a special revelation. I shall not want of the fellowship of the understanding of my Lord and Savior. And then he says, because Jesus is our shepherd, we shall not want. He says, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I shall not want for service. I shall not want for protection, for assurance. Oh, the shall not of comfort. What a blessing we have from God's word. Using that phrase that so many times people shudder at, thou shall not kill, thou shall not commit adultery, as if judgment was coming upon us, yet God uses that same phrase and bringing comfort and assurance to our hearts, where we can stand firm in our Lord and Savior, stand firm in the Word of God. And then we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. Here we find that phrase again. Now the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians deals with the fact that Jesus was raised. And what does that mean? Okay, he died, was buried, raised the third day. So what? Well, chapter 15 tells you it's very important. If you don't believe in the resurrection of the believers, you don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus. Now that gets pretty critical. And then he talks about we must, and we must learn the power of Jesus' resurrection and knowing that we will be raised. Do what you want to this body. You can shoot it, you can kill it, you can burn it. It doesn't make any difference. It's going to rise again. You can fill it with all the poisons or diseases that the world has seen or not seen. It will rise again because Jesus did. And then one day, something special is going to happen. Jesus is going to come back as a thief in the night. Now notice this in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We, here goes that phrase, shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Well, it's the point that a man wants to die. Well, when you ask God to forgive you and save you by the blood of Jesus, you met that criteria. Right there, you died. Buried with Jesus, you've been raised to live a new life. You've been born again. What a comfort, what assurance we have of that. The day might come today where I will not have to worry about the funeral, or my children will have to worry about the funeral for me. The Lord will come and we shall not sleep. That means we shall not die. I've already died once. I don't have to die again. Goes on to say in verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Is the victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We shall not all sleep. Praise God. Jesus not only shed his blood on the cross that God would forgive me of my sins through that precious sinless blood, but he was buried and raised again the third day that we might have victory over death, over the grave, and our bodies will live again. Our bodies will be changed. We shall not all die because Jesus paid that price for us. And then in John 5:24, and we'll close with this one, John 5:24, the beautiful phrase, shall not, not only deals with things that would harm us and destroy us, such as adultery, such as fornication, such as killing and hatred and stealing, but it also shall not gives us assurance of comfort of what God does for us. So John 5:24 and no more. John chapter 5, verse 24, no more. We find that phrase once again. In John 5:24, no more. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Jesus is talking, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Now, if we put a period there, that'd be great. If we really understood what we just read, it would be a great assurance. Everlasting means without time, without end. There's no end to it. There's nothing out there that can change that. It's everlasting life, not temporary life. It's not life as long as you hold on, or life as long as you're good, or life as long as you go. No. It's by God's grace, and it's through faith. But then Jesus gives that assurance. Now, let me read again, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not, there's that phrase again, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Sometimes at a funeral, the pastor will try to comfort the family and maybe give a little bit of encouragement that maybe this person is saved. And don't know for sure. Their life didn't match up to what it should in that, and some questions about where they're there. And some families will hold on to a statement that a preacher says at that point. Yeah, maybe my loved one trusted Christ is really in heaven. No real proof. Hope is there. But I got news for you. Those of us who believe that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, raised again the third day, we have the confidence of Jesus Christ himself. He said, you shall not come into condemnation. I don't rest in my works. I don't rest in what other people might say about me. I rest in what Jesus has said. I shall not come into condemnation. I cannot lose my salvation. What assurance we have. May these shall nots comfort you, that you can obey the other shall nots of not committing sins that you don't have to commit. What a blessing. What assurance. Is your faith in Jesus? It can be tonight. Is your assurance in Jesus? It can be tonight. Is your praise in him? Because you shall not want. You shall not sleep. You shall not come into condemnation. Oh, praise God. He spoke into your heart tonight. It could be you need to come and intercede for a lost soul. It could be you need to come and get your life right with him and quit doubting and have that comfort and assurance that is there. God has spoken to your heart. Will you make that decision? May we stand with every